lovelies, welcome back to another episode of Final Girls Horrorcast, the show where we discuss some of the horror, thriller, and sci-fi movies currently available on your favorite streaming sites. I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
Welcome back for part two of Listener Request Month. Carly, you should have this down by now. Our requests this week were Landmine Goes Click, as requested by Final Girls graphic designer slash logo creator, Justin Link. And The Devil's Rejects, as requested by the So I Married a Movie Geek podcast.
Woo!
Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to pause there.
Whenever you pause, I'm just going to woo.
Yeah. It's just going to be our new thing. Every time I pause, you woo.
I'll be like, oh.
If you haven't seen these films yet, please proceed with caution, as we are a spoiler-heavy podcast. I would also like to extend another warning for these films in particular, as they include a lot of sexual assault, animal deaths, and are just overall a little bit harder to watch for some people.
It's true. They're rapey. I'll throw it in there.
They're very rapey, and we will talk about it. And I don't know if the people who, well, I know one of the people who requested this knows we don't like these types of movies, but I don't know if So I Married a Movie Geek podcast is familiar with us at all, really, because I don't know. The Devil's Rejects is an interesting choice for us, but maybe they just want to hear our thoughts on it, or maybe they genuinely like them. Either way, we will definitely be discussing them, maybe not in the way they want us to, but that's another story. Anyway, before we jump into those movies, let's get started with a segment we like to call
Trailer Trash Talk.
Today's trailer is Prevenge, with a U.S. release date of March 10th. It's already been released in the U.K. It's a British film, written and directed by Alice Lowe, another female writer and director. I thought we could use that today. After watching these movies, oh my god, I really could have used it. Also, it's starring Gemma Whelan, who's Yara on Game of Thrones, for any Game of Thrones lovers, and Kate Dickey from Prometheus and The Witch, and Jo Hartley. I don't know what she's from, but she seems lovely. The IMDb plot is Widow Ruth is 7 months pregnant when, believing herself to be guided by her unborn baby, she embarks on a homicidal rampage, dispatching anyone who stands in her way.
Watch out.
I stumbled into this movie, like, just looking for a trailer to do today, and I love this trailer so much.
It made me laugh. It made me excited. It made me wish that this film, even though they don't have anything to do with each other plot-wise, it made me want to do this movie and Get Out together, because they're both that mix of, like, funny horror.
Yeah, I could see that. I could totally see that. I'm stoked. I love British humor. I'm a big fan of British comedy. And it has that, like, dark British comedy, but then there's also, like, it seems pretty gory and violent.
The Red Band trailer. I had to put in my birth date in order to watch it.
Yeah, me too. I don't know. I'm stoked. I really like Gemma Whelan and Kate Dickey. So I'm excited. I'm down. I think it's creative, too. It's a little different. Like, you know, we see evil babies all the time in movies, but this kind of just seems like she's schizophrenic and thinks her baby's talking to her.
Yeah, totally.
So, kind of a fun twist on a normal horror trope that you see a lot. So, kind of exciting.
Stoked. I definitely want to see this one.
Yeah, which is crazy. I would have thought that I would have heard of this. I haven't heard anyone talk about this.
Me either. I was really impressed. When I saw something, that I'd never seen before.
Right.
The name of it. And then especially that it looks really good and funny.
Yeah. What's up, UK listeners? You're not going to give us a heads up about this movie?
We like good films.
I know. It's got a 94% on Rotten Tomatoes right now. So that's awesome. I'm stoked. Let's do it. It's got, like, I think 30 reviews in. So that's pretty good. I'm down.
That's super good.
I'm down. I'm excited. Let's do it. Okay, so our first movie, let's jump right in. Landmine Goes Click from 2015, directed by Levin Bakhia. Excuse me, I'm sorry, it's Georgian name and I'm not great at it. Screenplay by Adrian Calusi. There's like a million writers, but most of it is just like ideas by. So gotcha. Adrian Calusi is the main writer. The plot is trapped standing on an armed landmine. An American tourist is forced to watch helplessly while his girlfriend is terrorized and brutally assaulted. Yeah, that's basically it.
Kind of.
But is it his girlfriend? Because no, it's
not. No. Yeah, that's why I was like, where are my notes? Tell your thing first.
Okay. Well, it's also, I want to talk about who it's starring first. Because yeah. We have Sterling Knight. By the way, his name is Sterling Knight. Like, with a K. Knight.
That's
like a
amazing.
Knight. Like a knight. Like the Knight's Guard. like Game of Thrones.
Sorry. Oh, God. I'm like, hilarious.
I'm so tired. He's from 17 Again. That ridiculous movie. And Melissa and Joey. That's where I knew him from, and I couldn't place him. That's right. I watched Melissa and Joey. Deal with it.
He looked really funny, but familiar, but I've never seen either of those things.
You've never watched Melissa and Joey? You're a child of the 90s and you never watched Melissa and Joey? It's
no,
like
I never watched Melissa and Joey because I am a child of the 90s. I stayed away from it.
It's actually, okay, I'm not defending it. It's like stupid and cheesy, but it's like, it's good stupid and cheesy. Like it,
right.
It knows what it is and it's funny. Anyway, I'm sorry. I'm kind of cheesy. I like cheesy things sometimes. It also has Spencer Locke in it, who is from Cougar Town. You might know her from Cougar. That's how I knew her. It's just pretty much me admitting I watch a bunch of like
hey,
shitty
I watch
shows.
Nashville. It's cool.
And Resident Evil Afterlife. And then we have Koti Torodava, who is the Georgian guy in the film. And he recently passed. Very sad. Maybe. I don't know. It's hard with this film because he's so terrible in this movie.
Yeah, he's pretty much... he's a shitty dude.
Let's separate him, the person, as from him, the character, and be...
Yeah, we're sad that Cody died.
Yeah, that's not cool.
No, but, that's sad.
The character is god-awful. Okay.
Yeah.
So, Carly, what did you think of this movie? It's your friend.
Yeah, my friend.
Your friend recommended
BT Dubs is the one that I was like, hey, man, what do you think we should watch? It's Listener Request Month. We need movies. And this is what he suggested.
Justin ever listen to our podcast
as our
graphic designer?
He actually listens to it quite a lot. And he always tells me, like, oh, I just sat down and listened to your podcast. So he does know. Cool. And he knows what kind of movies I like and what kind of movies. I definitely preferred this movie to Devil's Rejects.
Interesting.
I read the IMDb situation. And so I was expecting kind of like a different movie because it says that an American tourist is forced to watch helplessly as his girlfriend is terrorized.
Right.
But what we find out, which I actually like really enjoyed I was confused a little bit when I started watching it because I was like, wait a minute, there's three people here. Like, what's happening? And I was like, what? The fiance is the villain? Because what happens is it's a fiance, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, and then their friend. Who is going to be the best man at the at their wedding. And apparently the best man and the wife-to-be had some sexual relations. But they're not telling the husband-to-be. But we find out best man definitely told what he and the lady did. And so I liked that twist. There are definitely things that I liked about the movie. Obviously, rape, not a fan. So that, like, terrible awfulness was not, I was not into. But I think the psychology behind it, behind the idea of this movie was really interesting.
I think the idea of this movie is good. I think the execution of this movie in terms of resolution and, this particularly the women in this film, I find incredibly insulting and misogynistic and horrifying on a whole nother level than this movie is supposed to be. I'm kind of, like, upset that this movie even was made in 2015. With all the amazing horror movies that are coming out, with, like, finally we're getting some strong female characters, like, sticking up. They could have at least made her fucking relatively smart and fight back a little bit. There's, like, nothing. She sucks. And all the women in this movie just roll over and take everything that happens to them, and it's insulting, disgusting, and I'm just saying that as a woman, I'm insulted by this film. And I wasn't going to get into this until later, but I know already that that's not going to happen. So I'm just going to say my piece now. I understand that rape and sexual assault are terrifying parts of our everyday life. Totally understand that. And I watch Game of Thrones and there's rape and terrible things happening in that show. And I've seen it in shows that have been, it's been done in a way where it's there for a reason. Whereas in this movie, I feel like all of the assault and violence against women is done solely for the purpose of men, their own twisted beliefs in how people should be treated. And also,
in what way? Because obviously that's what that situation's all about to begin with.
Well, for this movie, and my reasons are different for each movie.
Sure.
In this movie, I feel like it's like, oh, I need to get, it's, okay, so the twist in this movie, I'm just going to go ahead and spoil it. The twist sure. in this movie, it, we have to. The guy who's standing on the landmine and is forced to watch his not really girlfriend get raped is stepping on a fake landmine. The boyfriend that put it down did not put down a real landmine. He just made him think he was. So he gets away. He's fine. The girl dies. And he comes back to Georgia to kill this guy and terrorize his family. Ends up sexually assaulting his daughter. And it's a whole whatever twist and turn thing. And he learns his lesson and blah, 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 whatever at the very end. But
I don't think he ever meant to kill anybody.
He didn't.
But I definitely, I mean, yes, he definitely meant to terrorize. And I was excited when this became a revenge movie, but I wish that the revenge would have happened differently.
I don't understand his choice in revenge, because here's the thing. Here's the point. He's trying to get revenge against this guy the same way that he gets hurt. He's not thinking about the girl at all. Because as a woman, if that shit happened to you, would you ever in a million years want the revenge against you to be for another woman that has absolutely no idea what's going on and is no way related to this to be the one that gets hurt?
No. And that was my problem with it.
It's selfish. It's selfish. It's bullshit. And no one believes this is real. Like, I don't know.
I wasn't expecting it to go as far as it did. I was expecting him, like, them to whatever, like, tie everybody up. He shot the guy in the kneecap, whatever. But I was expecting him to, like, make the guy tell him or tell his family why this was happening. You know what I mean? Like, that to me would have been more of, like, that would have made sense.
Yeah, and while, like, just tell the fucking family what happened.
Yeah,
That's traumatizing enough for everybody involved. Call the police.
Exactly.
It just seems, A, unrealistic, and B, it just seems like this came from the twisted mind of a man who's not thinking straight. Thinking of
this idea would have been so much better had it been written. There were so many things that were happening, even in the first half of the movie where the guy's on the landmine, that I was sitting there like, no. Like, A, why would you ever tell a stranger the story of what happened? Why is that a thing that you would, like, I would never tell someone that I met in 5 minutes that I cheated on my fiance with his best friend, and now this is, like, that's so personal. Like, you don't, that's not real. First of all, that's not realistic. Second, why would I ever give this weird man with a Rottweiler, who, I love dogs, I love Rottweilers, but, like, a weird man who's, like,
it's still a big dog that can fucking hurt you. Exactly. And is obviously well-trained to listen to what he says.
Yes. Like, who's, like, you know, just doesn't seem right in the head, a shovel. Like, why would I be so, I can fucking dig myself, whatever. I'm not going to beg this man to stay and help me. I'm going to say, hey, it's cool. You can leave. I don't want any part of this. Yeah. Like, and then whatever happens, happens. Like, that's A. B, I probably would never even, like, get it to the point where, like, I would rather blow up with this fucking kid than, like, put myself in a situation with, like, a strange man who could possibly harm me. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. There were so many things that, like, I thought about that I was like, this, even if I wasn't thinking straight, like, this doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't. And she has a fucking shovel. He has a gun, but it's on his back. It would take him time. She's right fucking next to him. She at one point acts like she's gonna hit him with the shovel, but in no real attempt does she even try to hit him with the shovel. And she had so many chances to hit this asshole with a shovel and take his gun. Seriously. And do whatever she needs to do. And it's just, it's mostly between, cheater friend / boyfriend, whatever, stepping on a landmine and this other Georgian dude that comes up and they're just swinging their dicks around. Like, I'm going to beat you up when I get off this landmine and I'm going to rape your girlfriend and blah, blah, blah. Women are used as fucking, like, things. She doesn't have a personality. She doesn't fucking, she barely does anything or says anything. And it's insulting. I found this movie so fucking insulting.
And it's like the longest rape scene of all time. I was like, this is gratuitous.
I fast forwarded through it. I'm just going to be honest. I fast forwarded through it. There was no reason for that.
No.
At all.
None.
At all. At all. It didn't do anything except, okay. There, I understand that this is like, there is a subgenre of horror that is extraordinarily gratuitous and some people like it. I think that there's a way to do it, though. And this is not it.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
no, not at all.
I always have a hard time watching it, but this is just like, come on. At least give her something. Have her fucking punch him. At least have her put up a fucking fight, because she's just fucking sitting there taking everything that happens to her. Like, oh, you want my underwear? Okay, here you go.
Yeah.
Oh, you want this? Like, no. No. You don't need his help that badly.
Yeah.
You could just leave your friend, go walk and get help, and come back. That there never crossed, like, their fucking minds at all.
I don't know of any women that would say, oh, you want the underwear that I'm wearing and you'll help me dig a hole? That seems normal here.
Why would you want that dude's help? He's obviously crazy.
Exactly.
And is in a place of power. Just let him walk away.
Yeah. It was just, this is a really poorly, poorly written and executed film.
I'm really sorry, Jason. I mean, I'm not sorry. You should be sorry. But
like, he gets it. And he's just like, he's, the thing that he likes about this movie is that by the end, you're like, there's not really any, like, he's like, at the end, you're like, do you root for the guy that's like, fucking torturing his family, or do you like, who, there's no like, who's the villain and who's the victim, and you know, there's like, whatever, which I get, but like,
see that's a downfall for any movie I've ever seen. If I don't know who to root for, that's not a good thing. Usually. And I can see where he's coming from, because there is a weird twist, and at the end he has this look on his face when he kills the daughter that's like, I can't believe I just fucking did that. I just ruined everything.
This just got real.
Because
he's so into it. And like,
it just twists it and makes it about the man a fucking again. It can't be about the daughter. It can't be about the girl that got raped. It's about the men in this movie. It's about how they're feeling and what happens to them. And fuck them, because nothing fucking happened to them. They're all fucking fine.
Sorry. Well, except for the guy that got shot.
See, I was wondering if the anger would come back, because Carly and I were talking about this, and I'm like, I don't think I'm angry about these movies anymore. No, the anger came back. I did it. I successfully got there.
Yeah. No, the best thing about this movie was when the gun goes off at the end, because then it's just like, it's over.
Yeah.
But it's so funny, because the entire time when I found out, like, pretty much throughout the entire movie, I was like, what happened to the fiancé? What happened to that guy? what is he thinking? Does he know that he basically like killed his ex-girlfriend? Like, I wanted to know what that guy.
Yeah, why isn't your revenge against your friend that basically fucked everything?
Yeah.
Because you feel guilty still? Again, it's about the men. I'm just so tired of it. I don't care. Fuck all you guys. Fuck who made this movie. Fuck all of it. It's the worst. I did not. I actually prefer Devil's Rejects to this movie.
I like had a really hard time getting through Devil's Rejects. And I've seen it before.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, we'll get into it. I'm not saying I like Devil's Rejects. Oh, please believe. I'm just saying this was this movie was quicker, faster paced, for yes. sure. But that doesn't make it better to me. It's
I get yeah. it. I get it yeah. for sure.
All right. Are we done talking about We're this? Done. Is there more we want to say?
That's a wrap.
And next. Okay, The Devil's Rejects, 2005, written and directed by Rob Zombie, starring, please help me, because I know people know how to say his name, and I always see it, I've never heard it. Sid Haig.
Yeah.
Sherry Moon Zombie and Bill Moseley. The IMDb plot is, the murderous backwoods Firefly family take to the road to escape a vengeful police force, which is not afraid of being as ruthless as their target.
Nailed it.
Thank you. So you love this movie, Carly?
It's pretty much my number one.
You've seen House of a Thousand Corpses, yes?
Yes.
Was it a long time ago?
Yes.
Me too. I don't even think I realized. I saw both of these movies in college. I saw House of a Thousand Corpses in college, and I saw The Devil's Rejects in college. And I don't think I ever even realized that The Devil's Rejects is supposed to be a sequel.
Is it, though? Because I know that Sherry Moon Zombie was like, I don't think it's a sequel. I just thought that, like, some of the characters from A Thousand Corpses, like, showed up together and
yeah, they're the Devil's Rejects. Yeah, but it's a lot of them, and it's, like, the main characters.
Aren't yeah, they? And they're still, like, their name is still the same, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. But I don't remember. I don't remember House of a Thousand Corpses very clearly. I remember not liking it, and that's about all I remember about it.
I remember being really excited to see it prior to it coming out, because it was something that was, like, supposed to come out, like, way before it did. Like, there were yeah. teasers for it, like, years and years before it, like, actually came out.
Yeah.
And then I saw it, and I was like, oh, this is basically a big ripoff of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and I was really bummed yeah. out.
It is. And this movie, also, kind yeah. of the same thing.
I was watching it, and, like, the beginning, like, is, like, the same exact thing. It's like, oh, this takes place in the 70s in fucking does it take place in Texas? I don't even know. But, like, it's got the same, like, eerie opening. Not eerie, because it's not eerie at all, but, like, Texas Chainsaw Massacre has this really eerie opening where, like, this man with a really deep voice is reading this story of what happened.
Right.
And it's, like,
it's very Texas Chainsaw Massacre beginning without mm-hmm. the effect of the loud camera sound and, like, the weird flashing. This is just kind of, like, a boring, watered-down version of that.
Yes.
I would say.
So boring.
Yeah. Okay, so
I was like, I was watching the beginning when, like, they're, like, dragging, like, the guy, the giant is dragging the body through the woods.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, is that the dude from Big Fish? Totally is.
That's what I thought too. Yeah, because he has the head tilt, you know?
Yeah, and he passed yeah. away apparently.
I know, I loved him.
Me too.
I love Big Fish.
Oh my God, me too. It's so good.
Yeah. Okay, so feelings on Rob Zombie as a director, Carly. Just in general.
I don't have a problem with Rob Zombie. I mean, I know that we've had this discussion before because I know that you are not a fan.
No, I'm not.
I don't have a problem with Rob Zombie. I appreciate that he is making these movies that he wants to see. If I was in his position, I would probably maybe do that too. But I personally am not a huge fan of what I've seen. I know a lot of people, like, I don't mind, I don't know, I don't like this movie at all. I don't really remember House of a Thousand Corpses. I haven't seen 33, but it's
31, I think, right?
31, yeah. You're right. Whatever. It's a number.
It doesn't matter.
In its 30s. It's in its 30s. It's in its 30s. Halloween and Halloween 2, didn't bother me, but I know a lot of people really don't like them. I haven't seen them enough times, I guess, to really like give an opinion, but because I don't remember them. I just remember saying, okay, that was a movie that I saw.
See, that's the thing about Rob Zombie movies. Do we really remember them after we see them?
Apparently not, because the only thing that I really remember from Halloween 2 is that the characters dressed up like characters from the Rocky Horror Picture Show. That is, like, legitimately, and the main chick in it is from Halloween 5, right? That's, like, the only thing that I know that I remember from those movies.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, okay. So, my feelings on Rob Zombie are, I hear him being interviewed. He seems relatively intelligent. I respect any person who has the guts to go out and make horror movies and the horror movies they want to make. Personally, don't like Rob Zombie. I know he has a large following, and we probably have listeners that like Rob Zombie. That's probably why it's been requested. He just doesn't do anything for me. I see a lot of the things he does, and it seems like he's copying things, not really paying homage to, just copying things and making things seem fancy when really they're not. And everyone always just, I don't know if you listen to the horror show, but, you know, whenever they talk about Rob Zombie movies, they fucking hit the nail right on the head. Everyone's fucking disgusting. Nobody looks decent. Everyone's fucking gross. Everyone's dirty and disgusting and filthy. And everyone swears all the time. And no one has any redeeming qualities. Everyone's an asshole. Like, who do you root for in a Rob Zombie movie? I need more from my horror movies. I can't just, like, some people might be able to just turn on a movie and let it fly, and it doesn't need to have any merit or anything interesting going on. Fine. I can't function that way. And his movies are atrocious. When it comes to character development, there isn't any. And I keep hearing people say there's fucking character. Here's my problem. I'm reading, like, people writing things online about how this movie has amazing character development. No, it doesn't. It doesn't have fucking amazing character development. It has one scene with a shitty family in a car getting ice cream. That's not character development. It's fucking stupidest scene that lasted way too long that could have been cut and should have been cut. And I fucking hate this movie.
That's so funny.
See, there's the anger again. It came back.
It makes me so happy.
So bad.
It's being vulgar for vulgarity's sake. Like, there's no rhyme or reason. It feels very reminiscent of wanting to be, like, a Quentin Tarantino dialogue-heavy type movie.
So much. I wrote, it's like Rob Zombie went to a Quentin Tarantino writing workshop and then decided to write a horror movie.
It literally, especially this movie in particular, I never, like, the parallels it felt to me between, like From Dusk Till Dawn or something, mm-hmm. or, like, Huge, or even, like, the, you know, cop scenes of Kill Bill, like,
right, it just, no, totally,
it, like, the shootout felt that way, like, middle of the movie, or the beginning of the movie, just, like, the cop's development throughout the whole movie, it just feels really ingenuine. The dialogue feels like it wants to make you think and wants to make you sit think, oh, look at the writer is so knowledgeable about old movies, but it doesn't transition very well, and it just made me feel lost a lot of the time.
Yeah.
To the point where I was literally just like, I just can't even follow this movie because I'm just not interested.
There's no contrast. Mm-mm. There's nothing. It's all the same. All the characters are very similar. They all act very similar. They all speak very similar. There's no contrast. There's no, this person is, you know, good natured, or this person, it's all, everyone's the same kind of shitty, just doing their own different shitty things. Like, it's, and I don't care. Who am I supposed to care about in this movie? Yeah. I can't think of one fucking person in this entire movie that I give two shits about. I don't. They all fucking suck.
Yeah.
And it's so weird to me that these characters who supposedly like each other, right? The family, they supposedly like each other. They have their own weird way of showing it, I guess. They don't give two shits. They act like they don't care about each other, but we're supposed to believe they do. They act like they don't care about anyone else. Okay, fine. They're serial killers. They're heartless murderers. Okay, fine. But at the end, they are so sad and crying and screaming. Like, I don't believe it anymore.
Yeah.
You're no longer... Are you feeling remorse? Is that what that is? Like, I don't understand. Are you sad because they caught you? I don't... It just seemed weird. The whole thing makes no fucking sense to me. And also, how are you going to make a movie about serial killers and barely show them killing anybody? Like, it's... I just...
Seriously.
Like, it's like... I don't care about your fucking road trip, dude. Like, you're fucking... This is the most boring serial killer movie I can think of. Okay, yes, there's a couple scenes that are gratuitous and harder to watch, whatever, blah, blah, blah. I think that there's one kind of rapey scene in this movie, and they don't really show very much. Like, no. Granted, it's disgusting and horrible and whatever, but it's, I don't know.
No, I totally agree with you.
It's just weird. It's like, how can we make a movie about serial killers less interesting? I know. Let's make them go on a road trip. Let's have them get ice cream. Go on a road trip. One of them dresses like a clown. Isn't that funny? I don't care.
I don't understand the thing. There's a lot of this movie that I don't understand. But one of the scenes that I actually wrote a note about because I was like this, like as I was watching it, A, it was too long. And right. B, it made no sense. Was the
really
part
really fucking long? Why is this movie so long? It's almost 2 hours. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're fine. There's no reason for this movie to be two hours. But the scene where the maid comes in to discover all the carnage in the hotel room, and like the one chick is like hanging on the back of the door.
Yeah.
Her arms aren't tied. Why is she still wearing her husband's face when she runs out of the thing?
I don't know. I thought maybe I missed something and they like glued it to her face or stapled it to her face or something.
You didn't miss anything. So if that was a deleted scene, it was a poor choice of a deleted scene, because the whole entire time I was thinking, why is she doing that? First of all. Second of all, her running to the road was so long and it made no sense.
Oh, it was a Texas Chainsaw Massacre homage.
But that's stupid because it wasn't even done well.
I agree.
Like, it was so frustrating for me to be like, I don't even fucking care. Well, I didn't care about this character anyway, but I don't fucking care that she would ever. I don't care about this. Like, this girl is just so stupid because she runs into she, like, escapes into the bathroom and starts, like, knocking shit over. And then she comes out of the thing. Nobody runs to the door. And then she runs straight into the freaking clown. And I'm like, why would you run into a terrifying? It's not like he looks like a clown that, like, does kids' birthday parties. He looks scary as fucking shit. Why would you ever, even if you don't have a clown phobia, like myself, why would you just, like, run into the clown, the scary, dirty clown man, and expect that things are going to be okay?
Yeah, I don't have a clown phobia, but he's fucking disgusting. I would never go anywhere near him.
Right? Like that mom. When he walks up to that mom, like, asking about the car, yeah. I would be like, honey, run away. Because this clown is bad news bears. This movie makes no sense, guys.
It doesn't. I want, like, people love this movie, Carly. People love this. People watch this movie and think, yes, finally, a movie for me. I don't know who these people are.
I don't get it either. And guys, it's not like I love witty dialogue. I love dialogue heavy movies. I love fast paced dialogue movies. I love gory movies. I love some bad movies. So like I get it. But like I don't, this movie just is not cohesive, and it just doesn't flow. It doesn't keep me interested. It's so all over the place that like I don't get it.
Way too many characters.
Yeah.
Way too many.
Yes.
I don't know why there needs to be this many characters. I love Brian Posehn, but why is he in this movie?
He gets killed so fast. So
I know, but he's my favorite part of this movie, and then he dies, and I'm like, well, why am I still watching this?
Yeah, he's just not in it enough.
How do you feel about Sherry Moon Zombie?
I just you know, if I was...
You don't think about her?
If I was married to a man that made movies, I would also want to be in them. So...
Okay. Okay, let's put ourselves in Sherry Moon Zombie's shoes for a second. Let's close our eyes. Let's be magically whisked away. We're in our weird, creepy Rob Zombie mansion with coffins everywhere. And he comes up to us and he's like, baby, I want you to be in my movie, The Devil's Rejects. It's going to be really good. You're magically whisked away on set. It's beautiful. You're on set. It's disgusting. It's awesome. You're very excited about it. And you watch as your husband directs your fellow actor on how to rape a woman with a pistol. At what point do you reconsider your life decisions?
I mean, you're married to Rob Zombie. So not that I'm saying that that's a poor life decision. That's not where I was going with that. But I was saying, like, what I meant by that was, like, he does things for shock value. And yes. So I don't think that that would necessarily take me by surprise. What I would do, though, is I would definitely pull a Carrie Fisher and rewrite the fuck out of my part.
Yeah. I just feel like it's weird. Granted, Sherry Moon Zombie and I are very different people. I'm 100% sure of it. We probably have very little in common. But I couldn't imagine being let me pull up a discussion I had with Justin from the Horror Business podcast, where we were kind of discussing this movie because he knew I watched it, and they're doing like a Rob Zombie thing.
Oh, cool.
So they're rewatching all the Rob Zombie movies. God help them.
Good luck.
And yeah. And he told me he watched a making of this movie, and okay, so he tells me during the making of the movie, there's a part where Bill Moseley and Sherry Moon were apparently traumatized by the hotel scene with the gun. So apparently in real life, they found this troubling and had trouble shooting the scene.
I didn't even see that.
Well, it's from the making of the movie. Oh. I haven't seen it. But this is just what Justin's telling me from the Horror Business podcast. So I couldn't, like, I'm just trying to, like, if she's traumatized by the scene, she might not have been okay with it.
Yeah.
Or it just seems, I don't know. I guess I'm going out on a limb and I don't want to speak for other women and she's got a right to her own beliefs or whatever. But
that's interesting.
If I'm sitting in a room, if I'm in a movie with my husband and my husband's directing someone on raping another woman with a gun and how it should look and how it, I have a really hard time with men writing these fucking scenes where it's for men's entertainment.
Yeah.
This feels like, let's take abuse against women and make this entertaining for men. Because it's always from the men's perspective, and it's always for the men's entertainment. And the men are the ones that are the voyeurs, and the men are the ones that are into it and doing this.
I get what you're saying, but in the same notion isn't, I mean, that's a lot of what serial killers do, is that it's almost like a power trip, especially this type of serial killer where they're all about raping and dismembering and, like, you know, keeping bodies of women that they've killed to continuously rape for a week and a half after they've killed them. Like,
but would it make it less personal, or would it make it less effective if we got some sort of female perspective on the scene? I mean, Sherry Moon Zombie is a woman in the fucking room who's supposed to also be a serial killer. Like, would it have been so hard to somehow, not that she needs to, I don't know. I just feel like there's a way to do it, and it's this way. It just seems worse.
Yeah.
But then I just also think, like, I can't think of a horror movie written and or directed by a woman where this would ever happen. And if it did, it probably would be way more horrifying to me, because I don't want to generalize, but okay, let me put it this way. If a woman wrote or directed a film like this, what would it look like? It wouldn't look this way, right? I feel like
it would probably be be worse, to be honest with you.
I agree it would be worse, but it would be worse because I feel like it would be more real or more accurate to how something like this might
I don't know. I feel like it would just be more kind of fucked up. It's kind of like, I don't know if this is like a correct parallel to kind of make, but like, so I was listening to Modern Horrors.
Yeah.
I was like, what? I was like, you were just mentioning the horror show and Horror Business. And I was like, what is it? I want to make sure.
I know,
sure.
We're talking about a lot of their podcasts. Yeah. Fellow Phantom Podcast, yes. Modern Horrors.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they were talking about, because they went and saw XX, and they were talking about how women directors, writers seem to go to a further extent more than men. Like they seem to kind of like push the envelope there. And it kind of made me think of, I have a few friends that are comedians here in LA, and that like a couple of my, you know, coworkers went to go see a bunch of stand up. And like, while they said that it kind of seems like the women were like a lot more vulgar. They were a lot more like, you know, I don't know if it was like trying to like, be hang with the boys type thing. I don't know if that like makes sense, but like
we have to kick it up a notch to stand out though.
Exactly. But it's like, is that necessary? So it could really go either way where it's like, do we need this kind of thing in cinema? And all the, like this to this effect?
I heard that when the Modern Horrors guys said that, and I appreciate their thoughts.
I haven't seen XX,
and,
so I don't know.
I haven't,
what
and
they
I haven't seen
about.
XX either. But there's very few movies directed by women that I think are more brutal or hard to watch, but maybe from a male standpoint, they are.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like maybe they feel the same way about some of the things that they see than I do when I watch a movie like this, where I just feel like it's senseless and it's one-sided. And I mean, I just want some fight back, or it's like have some strong fucking females in your fucking movies.
Well, and I mean,
granted,
this chick fought back.
Yeah, she did. That's why I honestly, like, this movie is not, to me, I found it less offensive than Landmine Goes Click. I find this movie, like, upsetting in other ways, more in, like, story and characters.
Sure.
I find Landmine Goes Click as, like, incredibly misogynistic and hard to watch in that way. Devil's Rejects, I don't necessarily find it misogynistic. I'm just, like, trying to put myself in Sherry Moon's shoes where it just seems strange.
That's interesting.
To be in
I'm
going
to have
situation.
To, like, I'm going to have to watch that behind the scene thing, because I knew that she, because she filmed that scene with the sheriff, like, kicking the shit out of her and like crying, you know, like that scene.
Yeah.
And apparently like she had to take the next 2 days of filming off because it was like really stressful for her. I knew about that, but I didn't hear about the stress that one scene.
Well, and I haven't watched this. I'm totally taking Justin at his word, sure. But I mean, of course she fucking wasn't okay with that.
Yeah.
You know, like she's a human being. Like it's takes a pretty fucking heartless person to film a scene like that and feel nothing, you know?
I agree. There's definitely, like, scripts of like, movies, like, that I've read that I'm like, I wouldn't be able to handle this, that I've passed on because it's just like, no. Like, even if it's, like, a friend, like, no, I'm good.
And I'm not trying to say, like, quote-unquote, like, torture porn, whatever movies are all shit. Like, there are movies with a torture element that I like think are good movies and have a good plot and a good story and interesting characters. This does not reach that level
gotcha.
For me.
Yeah.
Granted, it's not my favorite subgenre of horror. It's probably my least favorite, but there are movies out there that are amazing. Texas Chainsaw Massacre is a fucking amazing. You know,
so
even,
good, but
like,
not rapey.
Even the remake of The Hills Have Eyes has like a rape scene, and like, granted, it's hard to watch, but
it makes like, sense in the context of what's happening.
Exactly. There's a fucking reason for it. It's not just so you can film someone putting a gun up a woman's vagina and ooh, I'm doing something different.
Yeah.
Like, no, have a fucking reason for shit.
Yeah.
Have a fucking reason for why your characters are like that. Give some fucking background. And granted, I haven't seen a House of a Thousand Corpses in a million years, and maybe they did at one point give background to these characters. But if you're giving this, if you're acting like this movie isn't a sequel, you can't promise that, like, your audience isn't necessarily going to know that.
Yeah. So I always thought that it was something. Until I was doing research on this movie, and I was like, well,
I mean,
you're married to the writer.
If you have the same if you have the same characters, it's a fucking sequel.
Yeah.
Like, maybe it's not the same, you're not following the same people, but it's a fucking spinoff. It's literally what a spinoff is.
Yes.
You're taking some of the characters from a story and putting them in another story. I still need a fucking history. I don't know these people. I don't care about them. They're terrible people. Everyone is fucking terrible. The cop is terrible. Everyone's fucking terrible.
That's true. There's, like, no decent
person. Danny Trejo. Danny Trejo, maybe, is the only decent character in this movie.
Thank you, Danny, for your delicious tacos.
I love Danny Trejo.
Dude, he's opening a donut shop, and I'm excited to try it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
In L.A., I assume.
In L.A. Yeah, he's got two Danny's Trejo's tacos restaurants here. Mm-hmm. And they are delightful.
Yeah.
So the donuts, I'm excited. You'll have to Trejo's try them. Donuts. You'll have to try them when you're here for Monsterpalooza.
Oh, I can't wait for Monsterpalooza. Can Monsterpalooza be now?
Close. About a month.
No.
Right?
I know. It's coming up. I'm really excited. I'm really sad you're not going with me, though. I'm so, so sad about it.
There's a lot of things happening that weekend that if my friend getting married was anybody else, I would not be going to her wedding.
What is your friend's name?
Shannon.
Oh, Shannon, for next week. Shannon, congratulations on your impending marriage in the future. Please try to mark Monsterpalooza on your calendar before planning important events.
There's that, and there's that insane show that's happening with, like, all of the bands that were really popular 10 years ago, and also Morrissey. And I was
Morrissey.
Why am I not going to be here? I'm telling you, why? If she was anybody else. Because you love
Shannon. Shannon, Carly really fucking loves you.
I told her, I was like, if you were anyone else, I would accidentally not buy a plane ticket home.
But in Shannon's defense, Carly, you live in LA, so there's something awesome happening basically every weekend.
But it's Morrissey.
That's true.
Like, Morrissey. That's not an everyday thing. Neither is Monsterpalooza.
That's true. Monsterpalooza is a twice-a-year thing.
That's true. Son of Monsterpalooza is happening in a couple months. Oh, and it's Corgi Beach Day. Like, worst fucking day that she could ever pick a wedding, she did it. I love you, Shannon. You don't listen to our podcast, I don't think, but I love you anyway.
I was posting pictures of my notes the other day that were like, I hate it, I hate it. Is this movie over yet? Why am I still watching this? But thank you to those of you who suggested that we watch these movies, because whether or not we met your expectations, it still, I think, was a good conversation and worth talking about, and not something we get to talk about very often. So
it's true.
When I was watching them, I was like, and when they were suggested, I was like, fuck, I don't want to watch these. But then immediately after, I was like, but it's so good for us to talk about this.
That's what I think, too. I think it's important to have that conversation, even, like, especially because that's why I really like Listener Request Month, because these are movies that we would not have picked for ourselves in a million years.
Except for next week. Next week seems like an episode I already planned.
Oh,
I just
meant these two movies in particular.
No, the four that we've done so far are, you know, I don't, maybe Silver Bullet I would have picked. But otherwise, I think
I'm a better person for having watched Warlock.
Oh my god, I love Warlock. I still think about Warlock. Love Warlock.
Oh, man.
Okay. So with that, that's a great segue, Carly, to our new segment, which is called Tommy B Asks the Final Girls.
Thanks, Tommy B.
It's called that. It's called that because only Tommy B asks the final girls. Now, you all are welcome to ask us stuff. We have quite a few listeners. We have a lot of them. We know you're out there.
Write us a question.
They just don't want to write us questions, or really
maybe they just don't
request
care.
Movies. But that's okay. Maybe next year. You know, maybe next year for Listener Request Month, we'll have to turn people away and not have to use all of them and ask your friends to also suggest stuff.
Hey, it can happen. We're getting there.
We're doing better. So anyway, Tommy B asks the final girls this week, what is your favorite werewolf movie?
Ooh, does Twilight count? I'm kidding.
Yes, my favorite.
My ultimate favorite.
Wouldn't it be really funny if we just started like talking about Twilight all the time?
Yeah.
And like
the new Gilmore Girls.
Gilmore Girls. And still act like we're a horror podcast.
Yeah, exactly. We totally mention horror movies and then we just talk about Twilight. Favorite werewolf movie. My gut wants to say Trick or Treat because of the werewolf segment of that movie.
See, no, I think that's totally acceptable.
Is that valid?
It's a large. Yeah, I think so.
Because I like
you
the
love Trick or Treat.
Yeah, like the you think that they're witches. Just kidding, they're fucking werewolves and they're gonna eat your face.
That's true. I like that. I did like that scene a lot. That's probably one of my favorite segments of Trick or Treat.
Me too. So good.
It's great. Awesome werewolves. My favorite is without a doubt American Werewolf in London.
That would have been my favorite. That's my number two if Trick or Treat doesn't count.
All day, every day, there isn't one better all of the time.
I agree.
But Tommy, I trust Tommy's judgment. And if Tommy has suggestions on werewolf movies, I'm down to watch some more. Because I don't think I've seen that many, really.
I've seen that. The Howling. Silver Bullet.
What was that really bad one with Christina Ricci? What's that stupid one called?
I can see the cup. Cursed. I can see the cover. Cursed. I was like, I can see the cover of it.
I can see the cover too. I worked in a video store for a long time when video stores were a thing.
The Underworld movies, kind of.
Kind of. Yeah, I mean, there's not that many that I've seen. And a lot of them aren't that great. But American Werewolf in London, I think, is a flawless movie. And I absolutely love that movie. It's become one of my favorites of all time, all movies. So that's my answer. But Tommy, if you have suggestions for other werewolf movies we should watch, I am all up. I'm all ears.
Let us
because
know.
Tommy always suggests good stuff.
Teen Wolf.
Yes. Teen Wolf. That's another good one. Not my favorite, though. Although I love me some Michael J. Fox.
I love the Sneaker Wolf. He's in his basketball outfit.
Yeah. So what's going on with us? Carly, is there anything fun going on in your life right now?
I finally got to Gilmore Girls A Year in the Life. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
And
is it A Year in the Life or is it Seasons? I think it was originally Seasons and then they changed it to A Year in the Life and my brain never switched over.
Gotcha. I don't know.
Which one are you on?
I think I just watched the first episode.
Winter?
Because Oh, are there four?
Winter, spring, summer, fall.
Okay.
They're sticking with the Carole King song.
Gotcha.
Thing.
Interesting. Yeah. So there's only four, so I only have three more hours left of Gilmore Girls?
Yeah, isn't that depressing?
Yes.
Well, no, because they're an hour and a half long.
Oh, okay. The one I watched yesterday I thought was only an hour, but I could be.
They're all an
totally
hour and
high.
A half long.
Yeah,
you're high.
Clearly. And it was a time jump.
Yes.
It blew my
mind. A large time jump.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you kind of just went from season 7 to this new thing, which is 10 years later. So I'm sure that
I did,
was
but
kind
it like got me in the feels because I could totally like, as I was watching the opening, like I totally appreciated the little, like the playback of pretty much everything that I just watched with all the like, you know, verbal loops that they did. And then Lauren Graham looks awesome. And so there's like some characters that like when I saw, I was like, oh, they don't even look. What's her name? Alexis Bledel talks different. And that kind of threw me off a lot because it just doesn't, I don't know, like the banter didn't sound as I was used to.
So there's a funny thing about Alexis Bledel, and it's pretty well known that her voice changes throughout the whole show.
Yeah.
So at the beginning of the show, her voice is very low and she talks kind of slowly. And then, like, as the seasons go on, her voice gets higher and kind of peppier. And then, you know, and she kind of just talks normal in the new ones because she's done way more acting. She was a model before she did Gilmore Girls and did, like, zero acting. English is not her first language. She's a Spanish speaker. And
that's a fun fact.
So, yeah, so it makes sense that her voice would change quite a bit throughout.
But, like, even the tone, it's really bizarre. Yeah. Like, you're right.
She's also 10 years older. Yeah. You probably speak different now than you did 10 years ago.
I feel like I just don't. I'm the same human. But, like, so that was kind of weird. But, like, a lot of the people look the same. And then freaking Patty pops up out of nowhere. And I was like, is that the same person? And it blew my mind.
She looks great, doesn't she?
I was like, did they get a different actor? I'm, like, sitting there in bed. It was, like, 11:30 last night. And I was, like, IMDBing all these people. Because I was like, is this the same guy? Like, Zach, who I didn't realize is Terry Belfleur from True Blood, blew my mind a little bit. Because I just watched 7 seasons of this kid. Well, not 7 because he's not on all the seasons, but it was just, I'm excited to finish it.
And meanwhile, like, Babette, Sally Struthers looks exactly the same.
She does look exactly the same. Taylor is older.
Like, she didn't even age. Taylor's slightly older. Michelle looks basically the same. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, Paris looks awesome.
Paris looks amazing.
That haircut? Oh my god.
She's gorgeous.
She is
and
gorgeous.
And just as amazing as she ever was.
Oh my gosh. She's
I love Paris.
Hilarious. Kurt with his
Paris
Uber.
Paris and Kirk are my favorite. Uber.
That what's his fake brother? Dirk?
Oh yeah. I love that
guys,
show.
I can't
okay, we can
it.
Stop talking about Gilmore Girls now. People don't like it.
People love it because it's silly.
We do it all the time. And I just love that you love it now.
You're
like in it now.
I'm so in it.
Yeah.
That it's like.
You're in it to win it.
I'm like, do I want to finish this real fast or do I just want to draw
it out? Do you just miss Richard like so much?
I cried. And I knew, I knew that he'd passed away.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I knew that it was going to obviously have to come up. But like, it still made me cry.
Yeah. It's rough. I love the painting, though, and I love how Emily acts, and it's just great. It even gets better.
I got mad. Although, I got mad at Lorelai for giving her such a hard time.
Oh.
I was like, so
well,
what if you have an 8-foot painting of your deceased husband?
I think it's just that she wouldn't admit that she fucked up, because that's what Emily does.
True.
She never admits shit.
She's magic.
Yeah. What else is going on with you? Anything else? Watching anything else? Doing anything else? Seeing anything else?
No, I was really lazy this weekend.
I want to see Belko this weekend.
Yes, and I think I'm going to go see Logan on Wednesday.
Nice.
Which I'm really excited about. I've heard a lot of really great things about it.
Carly, they're taking Buffy off of Netflix.
I was like, okay, well now I have to put Gilmore Girls on hold because I'm just going to be watching Buffy for the next 4 weeks.
I can't believe they're doing this to me. Although I'm very happy that they're doing it after I finish.
I can't believe they're doing it at all. I swear to God, Buffy's been streaming on Netflix since the beginning of Netflix.
Yeah. It'll come back. They did the same thing with Gilmore Girls where they like put it on there and took it off and put it back again. I hope they just put it back again.
Me too.
But it is sad. I'm really sad because I was kind of hoping to like watch them all again, like leisurely instead of binge watching. And now it seems like that has been taken away from me.
I want to watch them all again.
Yeah.
Mr. Pointy.
Me too. Mr. Pointy. So I don't really have much going on with me. I'm working a lot because work is crazy right now. All right. Is that it?
That's it. That's all I got.
That's it for me too. Thanks to Troy from Cave Bastard. And Jason Link for our amazing logo, but not for that movie he made us watch. Visit FinalGirlsHorrorcast.com to find out more information on them. We still have stickers, so if you want stickers, let me know. I'm not going to go through that every time. If you want stickers, you just give me a holler. I'll make it happen.
Final Girls Horrorcast is a part of the Phantom Podcast Network. We're available on DownrightCreepy.com, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TunedIn, and pretty much anywhere else you can stream a podcast. We are also extremely active on social media, so please interact with us. You can find us on Twitter at FinalGirlsHC and Instagram and Facebook. Just search for Final Girls Horrorcast.
All right, that's it for today, my lovelies. Tune in next week when we discuss A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night, which is now streaming on Netflix, as requested by Carly's friend Shannon, who's getting married during Monsterpalooza, and and The Eyes of My Mother, which is not streaming. It is requested by Pedro, who is our follower on Instagram and our Brazilian listener.
It's really not streaming? Oh, yeah, you're right.
It's not. I don't think The Eyes of My Mother is a Brazilian film, but I know it's some of it's in Portuguese. So it's maybe cool. A Brazilian director who is American or something. I don't know.
I'm excited.
I don't know how that works, but it looks amazing. And I remember we did Trailer Trash Talk for it a while ago, and we both were stoked on it. So I am ready. We're going to be renting that one, guys. So we'll try to keep the spoilers to a minimum and just kind of
if we can.
If we can. We'll do our best. Okay, so until then, good night.
Bye.
Bye.